Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
This morning, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want to talk to you the fourth value, and this is a very important value. In fact, this was one of the values that really captured my heart in my early days as a Christian. And I realized that when I was a Christian in the 80s, there were two things that were very important. One was the second coming of Jesus Christ. People were always talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The other thing that was very important was Christ-likeness, to be like Christ. You know, we will sing those songs, "Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee." And there was a passion in the hearts of every Christian. Jesus is coming back, and when Jesus is coming back, we want to be like who? Not the pop star, right? We don't want to be like celebrities that is in the news. We want to be like Jesus. And so this was the thing that really challenged and really stimulated our mind and our heart to be like Jesus. And so today, we're going to talk about the fourth value that we have. The fourth value. The fourth value we have is to live out our hope in Christ's likeness. And to do that, we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, from verse 5 to verse 14. I will put it into a story. And this story is a very sad story for David, because David, who was the king, he was thrown out by his son, Absalom. And when he was thrown out, he has to run for his life. He ran for his life with his men, with his officer, with his mighty men. And then you find that as he was running away for his life, he met a man called Shimei. And Shimei was an extended relative of King Saul. And Shimei didn't like David. So what happened? Well, you read from verse 5, that Shimei, the son of Gera, came out yelling curses as he approached. Not only he yelled curses, he threw stone at David and all of King David's servants, as well as all the people and the soldier who were on his right and on his left. And as Shimei yelled curses, Shimei said, "Leave, leave, you men of bloodshed, you wicked men. The Lord has punished you for all the spilled blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you rule. Now the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. Disaster has overtaken you, for you are a man of bloodshed." Wow! What is it like when you are down and people keep on kicking you? And this man keep on yelling and saying those things, you know, giving names, and it must be quite a hard. How many of you like to go through such a thing when people throw stone at you? And David was going through that. And the next verse was his nephew. Is it good to have a good nephew? And his nephew said, "Hey, this man is like not only a mad dog. Come on, David. Uncle, just give me your word. Just say yes. I will make this mad dog a dead dog. I will carry out the work for you." But you know, the thing that David said in verse 11 and verse 12 really speaks about Christ likeness. How to respond when things do not happen the way you want it. And this is what David said. Then David said to his nephew and to all his servants, "My own son, my very own flesh and blood, is trying to take my life. So also now this Benjamite, leave him alone so that he can curse. For the Lord has spoken to him. Perhaps the Lord will notice my affliction, and this day grant me good in place of curse." Wow, what a way to reply. Most people will reply quite differently. "Come on, kill him. Get rid of this fella who is making so much noise." But David said, "Look, maybe God will turn this, my affliction, my curse, to a blessing." That takes hope right now. That takes hope. So David and his men went on the way in verse 13. But Shimei kept going along the side of the hill opposite him, yelling curses as he threw stone and kicked the dirt at them. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived exhausted at their destination, where David refreshed himself. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your words. Your words that is true, your word that is alive, your words that help us to become more and more like you. So Lord, I pray for your anointing of your servant as he minister your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And my challenge this morning is to encourage every one of you to passionately be Christ-like. Be Christ-like at Grace City Church. Be Christ-like in every areas of your life. Whether you are at home or whether you are at the workplace, be Christ-like. Be like Christ. Now, when things do not work out in your favor, and it does happen, don't throw a tremble. Don't make noise. Don't get angry. Be Christ-like. When others misunderstood you, how many of you have ever been misunderstood? Come on, it does happen. Now, what are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Can I tell you, be Christ-like. You know, when you cannot agree with others, and sometimes we cannot agree in everything, but yet be what? Be Christ-like. You know, whenever, whatever, or whenever that you want to say, you want to think, or you want to do, be what? Be Christ-like. You are the best advertisement. You are the best advertisement for Christ. Not social media, but you living your hope in Christ-likeness. The early church in the book of Acts, they were called what? Christian. Why were they called Christian? They were called Christian because people recognized these people. These people who follow Jesus, they live their life like Jesus. They did not follow a religion. They follow a person. And because they follow that person, just as every disciple will imitate the master. So these people who follow Jesus wants to be like Jesus, and they live their life like Jesus. They follow the example like Jesus. And so those non-believers that are around look at them and call them a Christian. Christian who are not just the disciple of Christ, not just the follower of Christ, but they want to do what Jesus say and be what Jesus is. Be his example. So, they strive to be like Christ. You know, one of the things of today in Christianity is that we try to say, this is my church life. This is my personal life. This is my home life. This is my social life. But that's not what it's supposed to be. Christianity, just like the Jewish people, when they embrace their belief, it means the totality of their whole being. Whether my life, my family, my home, my work, I have to express who I am, who I believe, not to compartmentalize your belief. And of course, in those times when the people were called Christian, there were no such thing as Sunday Christian. They were Christian every day. They were like Christ in and out every day. They were like Christ when people see them or when people don't see them. Are you like Christ? Do you strive to be like Christ? Today's passage have two characters. David, all of us know, a man after God's own heart. But then you have another character, Shimei. Only one time is mentioned about him. Both have a Jewish heritage. Both are God's covenanted people. Both are taught the Torah, the law of Moses, and the first five books of the Old Testament as required of every Jew. So, why do they learn all this? It's because that whatever they learn, they were supposed to what? To practice it. To practice it so that whatever they learn, they practice, it becomes a weakness. A weakness to others. The weakness to the world, to the other nation, that who they are as God's people. And who God is to them. So whatever they learn as a child concerning their belief, they were commanded to be godlike. Maybe they could excuse themselves and say that, oh, I have learned about God, but I have never seen him in person. I have learned about his act, his ways, and his commandment, but I never saw him personally. Do you know that people like to give excuses? How many of you like excuses? People like to give excuses. Maybe they will excuse themselves, oh, we learned all this thing, but I never seen God before. I want to let you know, for us today, we have no excuse. Say amen to that. The Old Testament have the typology of Christ. They see Christ in type. But for us, we have the personified Christ. We see Christ as a person. Christ in person. God show us how to live Christ-like with the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So Jesus Christ, to us, we have him as an example. We don't see him as a type. We see him as a person. And so Jesus Christ is our example of God living, of God lifestyle. And the gospel shows us how Jesus lived. The Son of the living God became flesh and blood, and he lived among us. And his life is to manifest the Father's character to us. And now he commands us to be like his Son, Jesus, to manifest Christ-like character to who? To others. You heard this phrase, like Father, like Son. Whenever someone said, oh, this thing that I see in your son is in you, wow, you are pleased. Anything good, the Father is pleased from the Son. Anything no good is not from the Father, it's from the Mother. It does happen. You know, and so that when we see this resemblance of the Son in the Father, we are so happy, we are pleased. In the same way, you know, when people see our likeness of God in us, God is also pleased because God wants us to bear his image. This is his predestinated purpose. We all like Romans chapter 8, verse 28. How many of you like that verse? For all things work together for good. We love that. We quote that. But we forget verse 29. What is verse 29? That God allow all things to happen. If you don't work out the way you want, why does God allow all these things? So that he is conforming you into what? His image. That's God's purpose. His predestinated purpose is for you to become like Christ. And then he called us to become like Christ, not by rule and by regulation. You know, you want to become like Christ by rule and regulation, it's very hard. It's very frustrating. You love, but inside there, you forgive, but inside there, No. You become like Christ because of the power of his grace working in you and through you. So the Bible tells that God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like who? His son. So the purpose of God saving you, making you a new creation and changing you and helping you to become like who? His son. That word, growing in Christ, is called sanctification. Sanctification is a very big word. But its short term is growing to be like Christ. That's God's purpose for each one of us sitting here. So every day you have opportunity to be Christ-like or to be un-Christ-like. When you are facing difficult and challenged moment in your life, would you be Christ-like or un-Christ-like? In unpleasant and tough situation, will you be Christ-like or un-Christ-like? I want to be Christ-like. How many of you want to be Christ-like? Put up your hand. You want to be Christ-like. Then you have to ask yourself a simple question. Who can I be? Say that with me. Who can I be? Well, from the passage, to be Christ-like means you follow the footstep of David and not the footstep of Shimei. David chose first to respond. How does David respond? David responds by first looking where? Inside. He first looked inside. Then he responds outwardly. But for Shimei, he never checked within. He was a loose cannon, firing without knowing everything, shooting without thinking or without restraint. Who is more Christ-like, David or Shimei? David is more Christ-like. So to be Christ-like is to follow the footstep of David. The footstep of David. The background of this passage was David experiencing the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. One look, another look. One question, another question. One night stand. Followed by murder, deception, lie, and cover up. Finally, Nathan the prophet has to go to him and tell him a soft story. A story about a shepherd boy. And when David hears this story about the shepherd boy, being a former shepherd that has become king, he got woke up. He got angry. And Nathan point his finger at him and said, "You are the one." And those words, "You are the one," shook the bones of David to his knee and to his very core. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 51, David repented. Say, "Oh God, I have transgressed against you. Forgive me. Take not your spirit away from me." And God in his mercy forgive David's sin. But the consequences of his sins are recorded in the words of the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. This is the consequences. I will rise up evil against you out of your own house. And I think when Nathan said those words to King David, those must be very haunting words. Words that haunt David. When would it happen? How would it happen to me and my household? What would be the damage me? And finally, those words were fulfilled through the rebellion of his beloved son, Absalom. It must be agonizing and painful for David. His own son, the son of his flesh and blood, rebelled against him. Absalom schemed against him, you know, against David with lies and deception to the people. And then he wants to take David's throne and he wants to take David's life. Absalom publicly humiliated his father by sleeping with his father's concubine on the palace roof. Is it not sad? It was on the rooftop that caused David to look and sin. Now on the rooftop, the action of his son humiliated him. It was insult upon insult. In fact, verse 21 tells us that there is no hope of reconciliation between Absalom and David. This is what I call sowing and reaping. The footstep of David. One of the needed attitudes for Christ-likeness is reflection. Reflection. Reflection is taking a step back, relaxing and looking within, and look at things from God's perspective. What and how can you learn from it? What next? Your next action, your next response. With God as the center of your being, in Him we live, we move, and have our being. Once, David reflected his problem with Saul. And he asked himself, what have I done? But on this occasion, David knew what he has done. To cause his son Absalom to betray him and the wrongful hostility of Shimei. So as he began to reflect, his nephew said to him, just give me the word. Just give me the word and I'll put this man, Shimei, this mad dog who is cursing you, who is insulting you, I will put him and make him a dead dog. I will end his life. I will finish Shimei's miserable life. David reflected and he replied, my son, my flesh and bone is right now trying to kill me. Compared to this Benjamite, it's small potatoes. Don't bother with him. Let him curse. He's preaching God's word to me. And who knows, maybe God will see the trouble I'm in today and exchange the curse for something good. From the Message Bible. Reflection. Have you ever take a step back and think about it? How many of you ever done that? Take a step back and think about it. I remember the second year when I was a pastor, I went through a very tough time. And one pastor who was ministering in Malaysia, in Americas, told me this, you know, Stuart, my pastor in America will not take this nonsense. You should do this. You know what was my word to her? Looking at her, I said this to her. Maybe God is using these people to humble me. Maybe God is using them to check my heart. Maybe God is using them to conform me into the image of his son. And for that, I will not strike. I will not do anything. I will trust in the hand of the living God. And sometime in life, there are people who are going to give you a hard and difficult time. And you may want to react. The right thing you should do is to trust who? Trust in the living God. But you take a step back first and ask yourself, what have I done? And you have not done anything. Just somebody coming your pathway. Then ask God, what can I learn? How can I become wiser? And this is David. Reflection. The powerful tools, the most powerful tools to Christ likeness is the Word of God. The Word of God is called what? A mirror. I wonder how often do you look at the mirror? Someone say an average person will look at a mirror 8 to 10 times. Others say maybe as many as 60 to 70 times. I don't know how vain you are. You know, but do you look at the mirror? Why do you look into the mirror? Mostly to check our appearance. Hey, some dirt here, something there. And when we look in the mirror, we want to fix it. We don't look in the mirror and do nothing about it. So James tells us that one of the most powerful reflection is the Word of God, which is like a mirror. You talk about looking at the Word of God as a mirror. And then when you look at the mirror and see, God, what are you trying to tell me about this situation? James said, the wise person will look at the mirror and not walk away not doing anything. The wise person will look at the mirror and do something about what he or she look at. Because this is the tool that God has given you. When you examine yourself in light of the Word of God and obey His instruction, it sets you free. It transforms you. And He makes you more and more like Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose. The footstep of David is self-reflection. Inwardly, what have I done? What can I do? How should I respond? Who can I be? These are the footsteps that bring transformation into you to Christ's likeness. Rather than reacting and responding without thinking, without considering your Christian testimony, reflect before you react. Think before you respond or speak. They confirm Christ's likeness in you. The footstep of David. Let's talk about the footstep of Shimei. Another character. But this fellow is quite a colorful character. A colorful. In life, you will encounter people like Shimei. But hopefully not too many encounter. They shoot without thinking. They fire without restraint. They speak their mind without full knowledge. They think they are smart. But in fact, the word of Jesus Christ said this, and we must never forget, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. The word of Jesus said this, by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So I want to be very careful about the words I say, about the words that come out of my mouth. To be like Christ means you don't follow the footstep of Shimei. Now, what is the footstep of Shimei? The footstep of Shimei is one of cursing. 6 times in these 10 verses is the word curse being used. Our calling is not to curse, but to bless, say amen. That's our calling. Romans chapter 12 verse 14 say, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. This is Christ-like character. We are called to what? To bless, not to curse. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? Who did God curse? Not Adam and Eve. He cursed the what? The ground. After the flood, when Noah made a sacrifice and the smell of the sacrifice reached out to God and he pleases God, what did God say? In Genesis chapter 8 verse 21, that he will never curse the ground again for man's sake. Cursing is not what God called us to do. Cursing is not just words, but in thoughts. Words are visible, thoughts are invisible. Whenever your thoughts of cursing others, what it means? To belittle, to pull down, hoping something bad on others. When it's playing on your mind, you need to what? Cancel it, reject it, because it's not being what? Christ-like. For all of us, people may curse us without we knowing about it. How many of you realize that? But we are protected by Jesus Christ. I like the story of Balaam and Balak. Balak paid Balaam and said, curse the children of Israel. Brought him to the mountain and said, curse them. And Balaam said, how can I curse a people that God has blessed? And every time when he opened his mouth, God changed the curse into blessing. We are greater than any curse that people put on us. Say amen. Because if you are not, if you are worried about curse, your whole life, you'll be looking behind your back. We need to trust. We are called to bless. And when people curse us, we have a God that what? Cover us and protect us. The footstep of cursing is not Christ-like. Second, the footstep of Shimei, hating. Look at the hatred that was in Shimei. This unsettled issue brewing in his mind and heart over the downfall of Saul. Now, look at this. Shimei was a man that must settle old score. Kicking David when he is down and out. Accusing David of things that was unfound and untrue. You know that hate is a very strong, negative, and damaging emotion. Hate will cause a person to say and do things that is damaging, destructive, and deadly. Brothers may hate brothers, like Cain hate his brother Abel, like Joseph's brother hating him. Whenever hate exists, sin is at the door, waiting to overtake you. Hate is poison, is the sin of the heart. It grows into bitterness. Hatred is not a Christ-like character. Say amen. It must never be found or hidden in our hearts. Even when we are misunderstood, misjudged, or misrepresented, give no room for what? Hatred. The opposite of hatred is what? Love. The quality of God. God is love. And we express Christ-like character with love. Love in action, love in thoughts, and love in words. Christ-likeness is to love. The footstep of Shimei, it has to do with reacting. Dead people, a dead person do not react. You take a dead person, move the head, move the hand, move the leg, and they don't react at all because it is dead. But not with someone who is alive. Reacting is part of human nature. But most time, we react without thinking. We react based on fear and insecurity. God do not want us to react. God wants us to respond. Respond is taking the situation in, thinking about it before you responding, deciding the best course of action based on your value. I respond according to my value. And what is my value? My value is biblical value, Christ-like value. Shimei reacted without the full knowledge of what transpired between Saul and David. He has a one-sided story or perception, and he believed it was true. You find never did Shimei ask David, "What is your story?" Shimei was just like a mad dog. If David has reacted like Shimei, he would have given his permission to his men to kill him. David did not react. He talked through, and then he responded in a godlike manner. You know the response that David said in verse 11 and verse 12. It's a response of hope in God's mercy to repay him good for the affliction that he is suffering on that day. Respond or react. Can you see something below there? What is the small thing there? What is the small thing there? What is the small thing there? Cockroach. Let me share with you the cockroach theory. There were five or six ladies getting together, having a coffee. They were all talking. And all of a sudden, a cockroach fell into one of the ladies. How many of you are afraid of cockroach? Put your hand. So what happened? The cockroach landed. Straight away she reacted. And when she reacted, all the other ladies also what? React. So in all the reaction, the cockroach jumped to another lady. And then the other lady, So the waiter looked at, why are all these five ladies all shouting? So he came, and the cockroach landed on the waiter. The waiter looked at the cockroach. This is called respond. Take a time, think. What am I going to do? And then just took the cockroach and threw it out. What's the difference between react and respond? Let me tell you a true story. I will not disclose the name of this dear brother. I was with him to a mission trip in Konkin. And we both share the same room. Just imagine, we just went into the room trying to settle down. The next moment, he screamed as if the whole world is falling down. Because there was a cockroach on the wall. For me, I don't react. I just went there and killed the cockroach. So it's important for us to realize, you know, realize that the Bible tells us that we should never react. Say amen. We should respond in a Christ-like manner. This is what James said. You must all be quick to what? To listen. Slow to what? Split, to speak. And slow to get angry. Never react in an unChrist-like manner, but always respond in Christ-likeness. First step, learn to respond, not to react. The other first step of Shimei was insulting. What an insult. Shimei followed after David and insulted him. Insulting is throwing stone. He insulted David before his men, his officer, his mighty will, with those stony words. You murder, you rude, you are ruined, you pathetic old man. You got what you deserve. And these words that he threw at David was like throwing knife that cuts deep, bones that choke and suffocate. How unfair it must be for David. David spared Saul's life. He wept for Saul and Jonathan. He took care of Matthew, short form for his son, Jonathan's son, and restored him to position, to possession, and prestige. Yes, she made true insult at David. Look, life is not fair. Get used to it. You may do all the right thing. People may insult you. So how do you react? You will always meet such people. Their words are sharp. Sharp that wounds your spirit if you take everything in. Listen here. People can say anything they want. It is whose mouth? It is their mouth. But you don't have to take everything in. Amen? Filter it. Good, take in. No good, throw out. Not so sure, put it aside. Maybe there's some truth in it. You know, and so all these, you know, insulting words, you know, come. And what does this person wants to do? What Shimei wants to do is that he insults David and he wants David to fall for it. Some people say, I'm not insulting you, I'm just describing you. Never react. Reacting to insulting behavior only serves to give the insulting party exactly what they want. Never react. What is the Christ-like response to insult? They call it the sharp tongue. Sarcasm is found in 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not retaliate with insult when people insult you. Instead, pay them with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for doing it. The next full step of David, of Shimei. Is this called what? What do you call this? Sterling. One other thing that I was taught as a very young Christian by my school teacher who brought me to Christ. The first thing he taught us, and I was one of those sitting there, this word, and I never forget, blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. I try to live hard with this attitude in my life. Blessed are the peacemaker. But I discovered that not all people are peacemaker. There are some that are just stirrer. Shimei was a stirrer. He was tossing up air, dust into the air. He was kicking up dirt. Verse 13 tells us. A peacemaker tried to make big issue to what? Small issue. And small issue to what? No issue. A stirrer does the opposite. You know what's another word for stirrer in the Bible? It's called troublemaker. Another word for stirrer is called drama. Some people just like drama, you know. But Proverbs 22 verse 29 tells us that when a person is a stirrer, an angry man stir up conflict. See how angry Shimei was against David. But always be a peacemaker. Seek peace whenever possible in dealing with others, in or outside the house. When the Pharisees stir the people against Christ to be crucified, Christ respond with what? Silent. Sometime, listen here, sometime silent is the best response. The best and the only appropriate response to stirrer. Set your heart to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker is Christ-like. Lastly, taunting. Some people just do not know when to stop. They keep on going. Shimei was one of them. When he set his heart on David, he keep on throwing insult. From verse 5 to verse 14, it's quite a distance. This man has got long life, he has got long breath, that he can keep on throwing insult for so long a distance. In fact, the Bible tells that David and his men became weary, but not Shimei. He keep on going and going. And this is called taunting. Shimei pick a fight and keep on going with a negative emotion of anger, hatred, and pride. These are powerful negative emotions, destructive energy. Think about this. Shimei has the energy, he has the time, he has the money. What he could have done? He has no self-control. He was like a mad dog. They could not let go of David. He just loved a fight. But David did not give him any opportunity. A man like Shimei that keeps on going, that will not stop. The Bible calls such a person a contentious person. Contentiousness is never Christ-like character. Do you ever see our Lord Jesus Christ got into an argument or quarrel with anyone? Does he pick on someone and go after that person on and on and on and on about her sin, his fault, or their shortcoming? Never. To the woman that caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Never. Jesus never was contentious. So must we be if we are to be Christ-like. Say amen. Now, sisters, don't get angry with me. Say, Pastor, I'm not going to get angry with you. Say that. The surprise thing is that when I check the Bible on contentious, more is mentioned about the woman than the man. This is the Bible. So we must make sure that we must never be contentious. Because this is what the Bible says. Be ever on your guard against grouching or and contentious spirit. I pray that each one of you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will take every opportunity and ask yourself, who can I be? Who can I be? Whose footstep will I follow? The footstep of Shimei in cursing, hating, reacting, insulting, stirring, and taunting is not Christ-like. But the footstep of self-reflection and responding like David, a man after God's own heart, is Christ-like. God calls and expects you to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. Happy conforming. Happy conforming. The end of the day, I want to become more Christ-like. How about you? When we stand before Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us we'll get rewarded. But God is also looking, how much are we like His Son? And any transformation has to be taken place here, where you are on earth. He put you here for a purpose, to be conformed into the image of His Son. Amen. Remember the cockroach theory. Don't react. Respond. If you want to know who is the brother, buy me lunch. I will let you know. Amen. Come on, get a worship thing to come. Hallelujah.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.